My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Grant and Danny radio program, a Ryan Clary Metal Chris production today, sponsored exclusively by the law firm of Condori Murad. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction and help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. It was announced today out of New England as the Patriots prepare to come down to Landover, Maryland, and to the X to take on the Commanders on Sunday night. By the way, what a bummer for NBC. Sunday Night Football. No Jaden Daniels.
Nope.
Versus Drake May. That was the whole point for them picking this game. It's the whole reason they wanted that Sunday night telecast. They're not getting it.
Yeah, I might have been able to advise him. I might save you some trouble and issues here. One of those guys ain't going to play that third game.
Maybe they don't care as much because they still have the storyline of the two picks, and you're going to be able to show Daniels on the sideline.
Yeah, the story still plays.
You'll still get to do a sit-down interview with him and show clips of that if you want to. But Jaden Daniels not playing. Dan Quinn said that definitively today. Drake May will play.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, he and Jacoby Brissett still engaged in a quarterback competition. I'm not really buying that. I don't know where you're at.
I don't think I buy it. In the sense that if it's a competition, who's going to start week one, I don't buy it. There is a tug of war as to who eventually is going to take over or when the takeover happens.
He's closing the gap,
yes,
and expediting the timeline,
yes,
for his ETA.
Yeah, I think it's a Brissett month-ish, and then it's Drake May time.
I think that's totally fair. They also have a pretty arduous schedule early on, although mm-hmm. when you're as bad as they are on paper.
They're all tough ones.
There's not a whole lot of easy games, but if you look at their schedule to start the season, New England plays Cincinnati, then hosts Seattle, then they play at the Jets, at the 49ers, Dolphins, Texans.
Damn.
I mean, that's pretty brutal. So that's six games where they're probably, best case scenario, they're 2-4. And I can't really find the second win. I'm just kind of giving them one along the way. But if they're better than 2-4, God bless them, Jacoby Brissett probably should start for the rest of the season. But at that point, then they play, this is your softer landing spot, the Jaguars, the Jets at home, the Titans, the Bears, the Rams. So if you wanted to give Jacoby Brissett 4 or 5 weeks or something and then a little softer place to put the plane down for Drake May, they could certainly do it that way, and I still think they're going to. But for some reason, they've gone from saying Jacoby Brissett is their starter, Drake May isn't competing, to now, since really a week and a half ago, they're saying that there's a full-on competition and May might start. I don't really see it. I don't buy it. They also haven't had him start a preseason game. If he's competing for the job, why does Jacoby Brissett go with the ones every time and Drake May go with the twos?
Give him a fair look if you're actually doing it. I'm with you. It's kind of nuts. Their first six games, I think, are against teams with winning records, right? Well, I guess the Jets didn't have one, so it's 5 of 6, and then six in the first eight.
If you view the Jets as basically just Aaron Rodgers got hurt and it screwed them up, it's like six pretty good teams.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that's more direct to the point. And then seven of their first eight against good teams. I mean, Jacksonville coming off a pretty terrible year.
Some of that is the division. Like, they, and none of those games are against Buffalo, if memory serves.
But you got your first two against the Jets before the end of October.
The division, and you play Miami twice in the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's loaded. You have three really good teams. Like, their three division opponents should all win 10 or more games. That's a tough way to live.
And it's going
to
be at their expense, a couple of those.
When you're bad,
yeah,
that's a really, really hard way to live.
Yeah, it's tough.
We were talking wide receivers here in D.C. earlier. Mike wants to give us a shout. He's in Wheaton on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mike? How are you?
I just want to know that everyone's bailed on Martavis Bryant. I mean, when he was good 6-7 years ago, he was better than Terry McLaurin was. He was a beast. He was awesome. And if he's got his drug problem sorted out, he's only 32 years old. This acquisition happened just before they let Dotson go. Almost like that acquisition made it to let Dotson go. I just want to know, nobody's talking about this guy like he even exists. And does he exist to you guys?
Well, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you remember a player going 5 years without making a catch or doing anything, playing in a game in the NFL, and coming back and being really good?
I'll flip that question back to you by saying, I don't remember a guy coming back 5 years after their last play in the NFL at all. This is new territory. But
right,
he's going to be fresh.
The freshness is there.
There's going to be no issue with
freshness. Nobody's questioning freshness.
You're right that it doesn't happen for good reason. Deshaun Watson missed a season, has not been the same since he came back. Now, you can tell me he was overrated if you want to, or that the system doesn't fit him, or we could find other caveats as to why he's being bad. But that's just the fact. Le'Veon Bell sat out a season at the peak of his career, came back, and was never the same after that. There are plenty of guys, and I'm not talking about rehabbing an injury. I'm talking about when you miss time, seemingly healthy, and you sit out and you watch and you come back, the track record of that is bad. Two seasons of trying to come back is borderline mission impossible. This guy last caught a pass in 2018. His last truly productive season was 2017. And to find his last Terry McLaurin level year, to kind of quote you, it's the first 2 years he played, in 2014 and in 2015, when he averaged 21 and 15 yards per catch. That's when he was last at an explosive, weapon, scary, like beloved young player in the NFL. That was the first year you and I did a radio show was the 2014 football season.
Yeah.
10 years ago. We were in middays.
Yep.
I was in my mid-20s. You were my age.
Mm-hmm.
You were 35.
That's right.
Today's your 45th birthday.
There you go.
It's a long damn time ago,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, things have changed,
so
haven't they?
Why are people not talking about him? That's why.
So we talked about him when he was signed, and I think we were kind of pouring some cold water on the idea that Brown were the 1-2 punch, and I mean, that's how long ago that was, by the way. These are 1,700-yard, 13-touchdown seasons from Antonio Brown. That's when Bryant was the number two there. I mean, that's how long ago we're talking about. Things have changed at all. So someone hadn't got passes that long, just age, different things. Anybody could have signed him at any point in time over the last handful of months and cleared now. This is more of a project. He was on the practice squad in Dallas last year. Dan Quinn knows him. More of a, there's no downside to this, but counting on him to not only make the team, but step up and be the replacement that Dotson was supposed to be, right? To be the number two receiver. I'm not that optimistic. If it happens, it would be one of the all-time stories. I mean, all time.
He was in the United Football League. So the XFL merged with the USFL. This past year, they created the UFL, the United Football League. First year of its existence. But it was the equivalent of basically XFL, which is decent, really legit spring football play. In that league, in eight games, with six starts, he had 14 catches for 154 yards. He was not dominant. You know, he didn't take games over. He was not the best player on the field more often than not. He was kind of a guy on the team in the United Football League. So these are reasons why my expectations are low and my excitement is tempered. Those are the answers to your questions. Now, if you want to have a different conversation, can he help them? I think that's a really fair way of thinking about this. Yeah, he probably can. But if you're saying in the wide receiver two conversation, making up for Jahan Dotson leaving because they've got this guy who will start opposite McLaurin, and at 32 they just found someone who over the next 3 years is going to go catch 160 balls or something. No, absolutely not. If it happens, I'd love to write the book because it will be made a movie for the record. But it's just not a thing. Can he maybe get on the field? That would be awesome. Let's try for that. Could he catch a few passes here and there? And, you know, who knows? Maybe have a 20-catch season? Again, I'd bet against it. But that would be great. But I think that's more realistically the ceiling here. Not that he ends up being an impact performer. And did we talk a lot about when they signed Byron Pringle? Just when they signed him. Other than that, he just doesn't come up very often. It's pretty much the same thing. The only difference between Pringle is he's actually been in the league making plays the last couple of years.
Right.
And Martavis Bryant, who has not been.
So still, to me, uphill climb just to make the roster for Bryant?
It became a lot smaller hill after the Dotson trade, though.
Yeah.
They have two open spots now instead of one for like five or six guys, just mathematically. His chances just improved big time.
And is now basically one of the two guys with size.
Yeah, it's either him or Bryson Tremaine if you want to keep anyone other than Luke McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Decidedly over 6 foot.
But, I mean, to me, he's honestly a great practice squad candidate as somebody that can be around, still get his sea legs underneath him. And then, again, you see what happens. To me, there's no rush in throwing him into a game or seeing what's what. I imagine he'll get some time here this weekend in their third preseason game. But just in terms of him having an impact role, it's really hard to see.
Let's go to Joe, who's in Ashburn, out where the Commanders train, on Grant and Danny. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, fellas. Appreciate what you do. You guys are always interesting.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, listen, I got a proposal, and I need some advice. Let's talk about some collateral damage with Dotson moving. My kids went to training camp the other week. Before training camp, we go to a sports store. My son picks out a jersey. I said, get Daniels, get Eckler. Who does he pick? Dotson.
Oh, boy.
$130 later.
Ooh. No.
He goes to camp. He does get Dotson's signature, and then what happens right now, right? So that's what happened. Here's the proposal. Danny, I see you wearing this jersey, buddy. With the signature, I'm thinking it's worth at least a cool $200, but I'll give it to you for $160.
Ooh,
that's really nice of you. I tell you what, here's what we'll do. And this is actually intriguing to me because it's kind of like a novelty thing. Like I'd be the only one that has that or kind of a deal.
Yeah.
I want you to drive west until you run out of gas. I'll meet you there. And then we'll do the exchange. Yeah, like just start going as far as you can, and then at the end, just wait for me. No matter how long it takes, I'll be right there.
Route 66 good?
Yeah, that's perfect. Just go to the end of 66. Just go.
I'm getting my keys right now. I'll see you at the end of 66.
There you go.
Are you guys meeting tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I got to finish the show first.
Yeah, but
then I'll go
there.
Yeah, then I'll go.
All right, sir, he'll be there.
I'll bring a snack, too. So perfect. Me and my son, RJ, will eat, and we'll wait for you.
Yeah, dude, just nothing but veggies. I want a veggie platter. And we'll do that.
Anything else? Are you going to bring Grant? Grant, whatever you want, wings?
No, Grant will come too. Cool. Grant wants to see it. Yeah.
I want to see everything. I want to bring my phone to video it for the show.
Hey, I got points at the Red Roof Inn. If you guys want, you know, I'll get you a room.
Let's get a room together.
Pick them up.
How about we all have one room?
You guys have just made my dreams come true. All right, I'll let you go.
Thanks very much, Joe.
We'll see you there.
Bye, guys.
All right, very good.
I like the shtick.
We need one of those, like, heart bathtubs, like Harry and Lloyd were in, talking about Freda Felcher.
Freda Felcher from Cranston. Remember you talking about her. Yeah, but that's the kind of stuff, I feel so bad.
Oh, it's a killer.
Right? Like,
I wanted to ask how old was the kid, because if he's like, you know, if it's 15 to 17 or something like a younger, you know, or an older son, it's a little easier. When my kids hear that players that they watch on TV and that they know we like or whatever are no longer with the team, it is a ordeal.
Yeah.
Like a real legitimate problem. Shane's in Virginia. What's up, Shane?
Commander Danny and Grant, how you guys doing today? Happy Friday.
Hey, man.
What's up, bro?
Hey, look, y'all guys got to start screening your callers, man. Did I hear that guy last caller said that the Brown was better than Terry?
I think his point was a little aggressive, by the way. I'm not sure if I completely agree. But he said early in his career, Bryant was better than Terry.
So pace-wise, the 1 year, he only played 10 games, but he had 770 yards in 10 games. That's a really good pace.
Look at Terry had the quarterback now.
He was on a 1,300-yard pace in that season. So I think his point was he was really, really good at one point in time. Which is true,
but you know,
at that point.
That's 10 years ago. It's 10.
Your boy had not met my wife of 7 years.
Right, right. Hey, but here's the thing. You better be worried about this wide receiver room, because what if we have no injuries? You know, that happens all the time in this league. I'm kind of worried about this wide receiver. I think they are going to make a move, though. I really do. At this point, you got to. You can't go in there with Brown as your number two. I don't know what they're going to do.
What kind of move is it going to be, Shane? Is it a headliner move? Is it like a big splash move, or is it kind of what Grant's talking about?
I think it's going to be – no, I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's because the wide receivers right now is pretty much going to be like the running back situation. You can get them in the draft anywhere. Look, here's the thing. I think it's going to be somebody small. I don't think it's going to be like – I think it could be like somebody like a – just for example, like a Juju Smith, something like that. But mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to give up a lot of stuff for a wide receiver right now. They're not going to pay that kind of price right now for anything right now at that position right now. I don't think so. I think they've got other needs that they need to take care of. Number one, still the offensive line, and still cornerback. The corner is going to be the problem this whole year. Watch and see.
Thank you, buddy. The good news is they're second in the waiver priority for any transaction move they make. So every player that gets cut and hits the waiver wire that's available to be claimed, they'll have the second crack at them. So they could get the second-best corner, second-best receiver, second-best tackle, whatever they want. Blessed in the DMV just tweeted us. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. He said, what if that guy does not get sarcasm and actually drives to Strasburg, Virginia, waiting for you guys?
Well, his son learned a hard lesson about buying a jersey. I guess he would learn a hard lesson.
It's a family learning some lessons this week.
A tough week for that family, but they learned.
Let's go to Bobby in Frederick. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
The Martavis Bryant thing, I'm not that big on him, but to ask that he come in and replace Jahan as the number two receiver, I don't believe Jahan was the number two receiver.
We know that now, yeah. You're right.
I mean, even before they let him go, I don't believe he was the number two receiver. That's why he was playing in the third and fourth quarter of preseason games.
Because right. I would say that's what we found out the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, for him to be able to do what Dawson did last year, that wouldn't be true. I would have catch 40 passes. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't know what Martavis Bryant's been doing, but 40 passes.
Well, it hasn't been playing football. Yeah. That's the thing I can tell you. In the UFL, he wasn't able to do that. But maybe, I guess your thinking is maybe he could do it in the NFL, which is a little more difficult. I'm going to bet against that, but I guess it is possible. I think let's see if he gets on the field first. That'd be nice. And I'm willing to readjust on this if I see something. Like, he's going to play a lot, hopefully, on Sunday night. He's an important player. Let's look into that next. Who is actually playing with a lot on the line? And who do we need to see Sunday night so that we have a better understanding and feel for what they can bring to this team and if they're going to make it or not? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Danny Rye's birthday today. And we're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. taking you up to about 6:30. Nats pregame at 6:50 tonight. It's live and local radio deep into the evening. They're in the flagship home of the Nats and the Caps. By the way, it won't be long before the Caps are back. We're well under 50 days out, and that is early October when their season starts.
Yeah, training camp action here before then. It's like on the way.
They'll be playing preseason games next month, which is a lot of fun. With that said, though, we should let you know that in 30 minutes, right at 6 o'clock, it's Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag.
Here we go.
A couple of weeks since we've given you G&D's T's Mailbag. It's something we've come up with on the show that had never been done before in the history of radio, and we're really, really proud of it. Danny, we don't pat ourselves on the back very often.
We try not to. We let other people do that.
But when you come up with something so creative and unique and original and transcendent, it's important that you stop and smell the roses.
Never before attempted. Never before executed. We're walking into uncharted territory. You know, like someone has to go into the breach first.
Yeah.
When you do that, you want to be like, hey, we just did that. Like, our flag goes down. Now, that's our flag. See what I'm saying? When everyone else goes by that.
Whose flag is it?
Grant and Danny's flag.
Yeah. And that's why it's Grant and Danny's. Tony's. Mailbag. 6 o'clock. You're going to ask us any questions you want. We'll ask us anything. About the show, about sports, not about sports, about life. We'll answer your questions. That's what we try to do. That's the deal. That's coming up in a half hour. Before we get to the players with the most to prove in the preseason finale on Sunday night, Kevin wants to offer one more thought on the receiver room, which has been a topic of the day post Jahan Dotson trade. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, bud.
Hey, yeah, the last couple of days I've heard you and the Junk say, you know, some of the concerns that the staff had about how Dotson was playing, wasn't being aggressive or whatever. I just was wondering if anybody considered that he maybe didn't want to play here. And the staff knew it, and they traded him and got what they could get when the getting was good.
Impossible to know, I mean, without him just sort of saying something to that effect. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. He didn't strike me as the kind of guy that would pout his way out with 3 years left, potentially, on his rookie deal. But, you know, who knows?
You'd figure most... I'll say normal. Most normal people would, you know, you got the new coach coming in. You're going to, hey, I want to show the guy I'm the man, right? And they've made it sound like he wasn't, like, putting enough effort in, which seemed odd to me. I just don't understand that because when he was a rookie, he seemed like, wow, this guy's going to be good, you know, and it just disappeared. I don't know how that just disappears unless he didn't want to put forth the effort. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's interesting because – the semantics or the word choice here is so important.
Agreed.
Like the diction of what we're saying. I think it has been portrayed, not even purposefully, but at times, as if he didn't work hard. And I don't think that's it at all. I think there was a lack of urgency in some of the things they asked him to do. There was a lack of aggressiveness in some of the physical parts of his position. Whether it was as a pass catcher, a receiver at the catch point, or getting off the line of scrimmage, or showing that you can wrestle and hand fight and some of the stuff you got to do, and blocking as well. I think there was some of that he was missing. I don't think that means he wasn't a hard worker. I don't think that means he didn't train diligently. You know, I haven't heard that he showed up out of shape or anything like that. Like, these aren't things.
It's not like insubordination. It's exactly. Not like the coach is going to do this and he's going, no.
So I just don't like, and I'm not saying he was doing that or anyone's done this, but I don't like the idea that, like, his character is being called into question when we've never really heard anything bad about his character. That is different than, I'm not sure if you're a fit because, and this is a hypothetical, you care a lot about the catching part and not the other part. And for me, I care a lot about the other part, too. And if that's what it is, just you don't see eye to eye on some of those things, or he's not as willing to do some of the dirty work for you, and maybe that's a priority for Kingsbury more than it's been for Eric Bieniemy or other coaches, it could be that simple, that he's just not their guy. I actually posted a clip on Twitter. The reaction was a mixed bag of people thinking it was interesting or that it wasn't, and that's up to each person to decide for themselves. But I posted the clip last night. Did you see this by chance?
Which one?
So it was from, I found this from 2022. This was Peter Schrager on the Pat McAfee show. And it was Schrager talking about the NFL draft. Matter of fact, Claire, will you grab that off my Twitter? Just a couple tweets back. It's Schrager from McAfee 2 years ago. I'll give you the cliff notes on what it was, and then I'll let you listen to it and just see what you think. But I thought it was interesting. You tell me, Danny, if you do too. Schrager basically is asked, through the lens from McAfee, who's shirtless, like drinking a big gulp or something, like in the middle of his TV show, yeah. It's a wacky bit. But Schrager is sitting on his couch, presumably at home, NFL Network's Peter Schrager. And he's like asked, hey, you know Cliff Kingsbury really well. You guys are best buddies.
What it was?
This was after the Hollywood Brown trade. Like, did you know that the trade was going down? And then he talks about the draft class. He's like, you know, I actually recently talked to Cliff, and he knew that he wasn't going to be able to draft. He names a few receivers. So that's why they made the Hollywood Brown deal. But he acknowledges that he thought Dotson would still be available because he didn't think he'd get drafted where he was.
Uh-huh.
Meaning, he thought Washington drafted him higher than he should have been drafted.
Interesting.
Also meaning, he thought Dotson would be available to him, and he still went out and traded for Hollywood Brown. I take that to mean a couple things. Number one, he thought he was overdrafted. Number two, he thought he'd have a chance at him and didn't want to draft him in the first round. And it's a little bit of a tell for me that he wasn't, like, Kingsbury's never loved him. He doesn't watch him, and he jump off the tape at him. A lot of people said, oh, this is nothing, you're reaching. But you guys listen to this.
I'll tell you this, okay, because I'm not going to put anyone. Oh. Cliff and I went through the draft.
All right, so I guess we can't play this clip because everyone's using the F word. My apologies, I didn't know that. Pat McAfee loves cursing, so there's that. Isn't that show on ESPN, by the way?
I don't know.
I tweeted that. I just can't. Were curse words all over the place.
I just can't.
By the way, how does this work that, like, if we say a word that is not even a curse word, but it's inappropriate, we might get in trouble in radio, and Pat McAfee's just bleep that, bleep this, bleep that, bleep this, and everyone thinks it's cute and funny?
Again, I don't know. I just don't know.
It's because it's a Disney company. ESPN is a Disney company, and they allow that, I think. Right?
Disney's known for that.
No,
right?
But isn't
when you wish upon a star and Pat McAfee with those sleeves dropping F bombs.
Isn't the point
take me away
that we have, like, it doesn't everyone have FCC violations?
Sometimes
rules.
I'm baffled. I'm baffled by all of it.
Well, first of all, I apologize, Ryan. I'm embarrassed that I asked you to play the clip. I listened to it a few times. I didn't really notice that there were.
You didn't notice too.
I guess I had forgotten that there were F words,
yeah.
But it was like, oh, Pat McAfee, okay, you're an idiot. And then Schrager drops one, and it's like, let's just get out of this. Never again. This has been a great segment. It was really good to play the clip for you. I think we did a great
Everyone
job.
Enjoy that?
Yeah, that was fun. What'd you guys get out of that audio? 800-636-1067.
Where was I? Oh, yeah, sorry. Just a little thrum.
Imagine, though.
Yeah, I know.
The comfort. I am constantly petrified with every little thing I say. I jokingly said something kind of funny a couple days ago. And a couple people were like, dude.
Immediately, right away, like, yeah, oh, my God, Grant.
This dude's just shooting from the hip. It's unbelievable. On live television.
The confidence. Okay. By the way, so those things people carry with them.
Hang on, before you move forward.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was trying to.
Do you think that's a thing?
That's where I was going.
What I described. Like, if in fact he thought Dotson was available when he was drafting but wasn't overly interested and thought he got drafted too high, does that mean Kingsbury was not a big Dotson guy, or is that a bridge too far?
It's not, because here's what I was going to do. These guys are all doing their homework on every player, right? That it's part of the job. Where if you are interested potentially in a wide receiver, your general manager, your scouts, people are going to run things by you as a coach. Like, hey, this is a guy we're considering, or we like him, you know, take a look. And if he goes, you know what, I don't see it, I don't love it, I don't like this, that, the other thing, you saw the evaluation, or you probably did some on your own. Your notes are submitted. How do you think he fits with your scheme, your design? What could you have him do? If we took him as kind of a half outside, half inside guy, could you find a use for that? And if the answer is not really, not so much, then you remember that sort of stuff. And of course you carry that with you. Whereas if you, the flip side works too. Let's say, for the sake of argument, clearly we know it's not the case, but let's say that Kingsbury had loved Jahan Dotson and had been like, part of why I'm taking the job is to unlock this dude. I loved him in Arizona. I was praying he'd get to us in round two, and damn it, Washington took him at 16. But now I get a chance to do it. That happens. It happens both ways. I 100% think that's a thing.
But you've got his best buddy saying he knew Jameson Williams would be gone. He knew Chris Olave would be gone. He knew, I don't remember the other receivers, but they'd be gone. And he even says he was surprised that Dotson and Burks had already been taken, which, by the way, is pretty good commentary on Kingsbury, that he was right about all the guys that were really good, and he's been correct as well that the guys that get overdrafted that he didn't think should be gone also haven't been that good. But yeah, if Dotson was going to fall into your lap and you felt like he's good enough that you don't have to trade for a wide receiver because you like him, okay, then that tells me Cliff Kingsbury liked Jahan Dotson. The whole point of the segment is they're asking him, why did they trade for Hollywood Brown?
Yeah.
And he said, basically, I didn't like my chances in the first round to get one of their wide receivers that I loved. That was the whole point of the discussion. So I did think that was a tell. All right, two players that are going to matter a lot in this preseason game. We should get into that next. Here's what we should do. Give me two on each side of the ball, and I'll do the same.
You got it.
Top of the hour at 6 o'clock, Grant and Danny's. Tony's Mailbag. This is The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Our G&D's Tony's Mailbag coming up at 6. Line up your questions now. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. You got a question for us. And, of course, you can make sure to get any questions in you want via the chat on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page where you can watch the show as well. We are streaming live until we're done tonight at 6:30. Real quick, we did edit and we found the clip I'm talking about just so people can now hear it. We got to pay this off. I should also point out, so the audio we were playing, I was like, how is that on ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
It was from before the ESPN days.
Gotcha.
When McAfee was on FanDuel, YouTube, whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still curse on ESPN somehow, and I don't understand how that works, but that's a whole different conversation for another day. So that explains why it was a little more aggressive in its cursing than the show is currently on ESPN. But here is what Schrager said about the receivers.
I'll tell you this, okay, because I'm not going to put anyone in a tough spot. About a month ago.
Oh, geez, Cliff, Schrager, you're going to put somebody in a tough spot. There's only four people that knew, so that three Cliff people are going to know.
Cliff and I went through the draft because it was post-combine and it was about to be post-free agency. And he was like, these five receivers are awesome, and there's a lot of them. And we have 23, like, and we went through, and he's like, there's no way I'm getting one of these guys. There's just no way. So he knew that Jameson Williams, who he loved, and he knew that Olave, who he loved, and he knew that Wilson and London were going to be gone. I don't think he might necessarily expected Burks and Dotson also to be gone. So they had a plan. I respect the hell out of it. They had a plan. Let's go make a plan and get a wide receiver. That player individually, Marquise Brown, was highlighted. This is one of Lamar, one of Kyler's best friends from college.
So he went into talking also about going and getting, by the way, which is also funny, one of Kyler Murray's best friends from college to play wide receiver with him.
Funny,
there's,
right?
There's a Jaden Daniels, Brandon
Ayuk. There's a guy. Flashbacks.
Joke in there somewhere. But I don't know how you could tell me that's not interesting. That he didn't think Jahan Dotson would be drafted where he was. And oh, by the way, he loved this guy. He loved this guy. He loved this guy. And he traded for a wide receiver because he was fearing they were all going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, tell me I'm looking too deep into something or trying to find something if you want to. Maybe. I'm not telling it's an end-all be-all. I'm just saying it's interesting, and it might be indicative of that. Plus, I don't know, Jahan Dotson not being here anymore. I don't get the sense Kingsbury was a big Dotson guy. Paul's in D.C. What's up, Paul?
I agree with you, Grant, because at the end of the day, when you really look at the situation, one of the things that I learned with my father being in sports is that these agents and these general managers and these coaches, they get the guys that they want. And I think that from the very beginning, they didn't want Dotson. How can you justify bringing Martavis Bryant in, who's older than me probably, and letting go Jahan Dotson? And Martavis been out of football for the last 2-3 years. Now, here's another point. He's a first-round draft choice. So even if he wasn't what you thought he was, you still will give them the benefit of the doubt. You still got Damon Davis on your roster. So, I mean, like, and he definitely hasn't been more productive than Jahan Dotson. Because Jahan Dotson, first year, people was talking all-pro receiver. So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, they just didn't want him. And it's just like that person that you get a job with, and the new manager comes in, and all of a sudden, all of your work started getting criticized. But before, you was the best employee on the block. So, That's all it was. They were looking for stuff to get rid of. Now they're attacking the young man's character, and I can't respect that.
Well, I don't think they have, to be fair. I have not heard or seen them attack his character at any point. I give them credit for that. That's an old regime thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've done that. I think maybe they've explained away part of, at times, what they weren't intrigued by, and it was just not a schematic fit for the things that he doesn't prioritize that they do. But I don't think anybody has spoken negatively about his character.
Yeah, so it always comes out negative because he's not here anymore, right? Like, there's a reason he's not here. And so then it clearly isn't. He's not here because we love him, and we can't wait for him to catch 80 balls this year, right? Well, it's obvious it's not going to be that. But when you heard Cliff Kingsbury kind of hint to it, talking about him, his scheme, his style, and really what Dan Quinn wants to do, like, everybody is going to be violent. Everyone's going to be physical. And what are you doing when you don't have the football? That kind of gave away the business to me. Basically, not that John Dotson's a bad dude or he's lazy or he's insubordinate or he's a malcontent. It's that that's not a skill set. That's not where he's the best. He's not, you know, Deebo Samuel away from the football, you know, road grading for Christian McCaffrey on a pitch play. That's not what he's great at this point. And they're probably going to keep some guys that are.
All right, so Danny, let's get to the players on each side of the ball you're most excited to see play in this game that are likely to go. We'll start on offense. Give me two names.
Kaz Allen. I want to see. They're intrigued by this, right? So that's kind of position switch. I think they view him more as a gadget, maybe a Swiss Army knife, some receiver, some running back, et cetera. What do you have involved? You should dominate a game like this.
Bryson Tremaine, for mm-hmm. me, the big 6'4" wide receiver, undrafted out of Stanford last year, was on the Peace Squad, has had a very good camp. I'd like to see him be given some opportunities, whether it's fades in the end zone or some jump balls middle of the field, down the field. Just give him an opportunity to show that he can match some of the size and athletic traits to being able to help you in a game and maybe be viewed through a different light.
Michael Wiley, go ahead, dude. Get the ball. Tote that rock. I want to see, is he, I don't think this year, because you've got some more senior guys ahead of him, some guys with pelts on the wall, and who are also still young enough to do some things, but is this a stash player that all of a sudden, one of those dudes that bursts on the scene, maybe at the end of this season or next year?
The aforementioned Martavis Bryant, because I do think there's a roster spot there to be grabbed. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I just went with two guys that are 6'4", that are the only big receivers basically in the room.
I don't see any commonality there.
I really want some size on the back end of the roster. Even if it's for a couple of plays you draw up in the red zone, red area, goal line, whatever it is. Those two guys, Tremaine, who's young with some upside, Bryant, who is not and probably doesn't have a ton of it, but might be able to help you a little bit. Those are two guys that I'll definitely be tracking that I think in some ways are playing for a job. On defense, I've loved what I've seen from K.J. Henry. I think it's not being talked about a lot, but he's been one of the better performers in the preseason.
Well.
And I really liked him in training camp when I was out there the few days that I got to see as well. He is on my roster. I think he is the fourth edge rusher. You've got Armstrong, Farrell, Fowler, and then Henry would be fourth. I think Javonte Jean-Baptiste has a good chance to make the roster as well, the seventh-round pick out of Notre Dame. But give me K.J. Henry as a guy that I'm watching who's on the bubble.
Tyler Owens. I just want to see more. I just want to see him do stuff. I want to see him unfiltered. I want to see him running around making plays.
If you feel it, chase it.
Chase it.
If you feel it, chase it.
I was trying to get on board with you there.
That's a Glenn Powell Twister reference.
Gotcha.
The character's name in Twisters that Glenn Powell plays
mm-hmm.
is like a YouTuber. He chases storms. Is Tyler Owens.
Is that right?
And his catchphrase is, if you feel it, chase it.
Is Jamin Davis going to play?
I would absolutely think so.
Then that's my answer.
How could he not?
Yeah, that's my answer then. Because you mentioned four defensive ends. Is Jamin Davis defensive end-ish, kind of? Or is he going to go back to linebacker sometimes in packages? Fascinated to see this development. Had a great play last week.
I like that one. I'll give you a DB. I'm going to say Noah Igbinoghene, who I think has shown pretty decently at the nickel. Seems like he's on the roster at corner. He could cement that with a good performance. I think he will be in for Washington. I like his game, and they know him from his time in Dallas. All right, Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag is next. You guys get to ask us questions, a little ask us anything. 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our G&D's Tony's Mailbag coming up at 6. Line up your questions now. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. You got a question for us. And, of course, you can make sure to get any questions in you want via the chat on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page where you can watch the show as well. We are streaming live until we're done tonight at 6:30. Real quick, we did edit and we found the clip I'm talking about just so people can now hear it. We got to pay this off. I should also point out, so the audio we were playing, I was like, how is that on ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
It was from before the ESPN days.
Gotcha.
When McAfee was on FanDuel, YouTube, whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still curse on ESPN somehow, and I don't understand how that works, but that's a whole different conversation for another day. So that explains why it was a little more aggressive in its cursing than the show is currently on ESPN. But here is what Schrager said about the receivers.
I'll tell you this, okay, because I'm not going to put anyone in a tough spot. About a month ago.
Oh, geez, Schrager, you're going to put somebody in a tough spot. There's only four people that knew, so that three people are going to know.
Cliff and I went through the draft because it was post-combine and it was about to be post-free agency. And he was like, these five receivers are awesome. And there's a lot of them. And we have 23. Like, and we went through and he's like, there's no way I'm getting one of these guys. There's just no way. So he knew that Jameson Williams, who he loved, and he knew that Olave, who he loved, and he knew that Wilson and London were going to be gone. I don't think he might necessarily expected Burks and Dotson also to be gone. So they had a plan. I respect the hell out of it. They had a plan. Let's go make a plan and get a wide receiver. That player individually, Marquise Brown, was highlighted. This is one of Lamar, one of Kyler's best friends from college.
So he went into talking also about going and getting, by the way, which is also funny, one of Kyler Murray's best friends from college to play wide receiver with him.
Funny,
there's,
right?
There's a Jaden Daniels, Brandon
Ayuk. Oh, there's a guy. Flashbacks.
Joke in there somewhere. But I don't know how you could tell me that's not interesting. That he didn't think Jahan Dotson would be drafted where he was. And oh, by the way, he loved this guy. He loved this guy. He loved this guy. And he traded for a wide receiver because he was fearing they were all going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, tell me I'm looking too deep into something or trying to find something if you want to. Maybe. I'm not telling you it's an end-all be-all. I'm just saying it's interesting, and it might be indicative of that. Plus, I don't know, Jahan Dotson not being here anymore. I don't get the sense Kingsbury was a big Dotson guy. Paul's in D.C. What's up, Paul?
I agree with you, Grant, because at the end of the day, when you really look at the situation, one of the things that I learned with my father being in sports is that these agents and these general managers and these coaches, they get the guys that they want. And I think that from the very beginning, they didn't want Dotson. How can you justify bringing Martavis Bryant in, who's older than me probably, and letting go Jahan Dotson? And Martavis has been out of football for the last 2-3 years. Now, here's another point. He's a first-round draft choice. So even if he wasn't what you thought he was, you still will give them the benefit of the doubt. You still got Damon Davis on your roster. So, I mean, like, and he definitely hasn't been more productive than Jahan Dotson. Because Jahan Dotson, first year, people was talking all-pro receiver. So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, they just didn't want him. And it's just like that person that you get a job with, and the new manager comes in, and all of a sudden, all of your work started getting criticized. But before, you was the best employee on the block. So, that's all it was. They was looking for stuff to get rid of. Now they're attacking the young man's character, and I can't respect that.
Well, I don't think they have, to be fair. I have not heard or seen them attack his character at any point. I give them credit for that. That's an old regime thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've done that. I think maybe they've explained away part of, at times, what they weren't intrigued by. And it was just not a schematic fit for the things that he doesn't prioritize that they do. But I don't think anybody has spoken negatively about his character.
Yeah, so it always comes out negative because he's not here anymore, right? Like, there's a reason he's not here. And so then it clearly isn't. He's not here because we love him, and we can't wait for him to catch 80 balls this year, right? Well, it's obvious it's not going to be that. But when you heard Cliff Kingsbury kind of hint to it, talking about him, his scheme, his style, and really what Dan Quinn wants to do, like, everybody is going to be violent. Everyone's going to be physical. And what are you doing when you don't have the football? That kind of gave away the business to me. Basically, not that John Dotson's a bad dude, or he's lazy, or he's insubordinate, or he's a malcontent. It's that that's not a skill set. That's not where he's the best. He's not, you know, Deebo Samuel away from the football, you know, road grading for Christian McCaffrey on a pitch play. That's not what he's great at this point. And they're probably going to keep some guys that are.
All right, so Danny, let's get to the players on each side of the ball you're most excited to see play in this game that are likely to go. We'll start on offense. Give me two names.
Kaz Allen. I want to see. They're intrigued by this, right? So it's kind of position switch. I think they view him more as a gadget, maybe a Swiss Army knife, some receiver, some running back, et cetera. What do you have involved? You should dominate a game like this.
Bryson Tremaine for mm-hmm. me, the big 6'4" wide receiver, undrafted out of Stanford last year, was on the Peace Squad, has had a very good camp. I'd like to see him be given some opportunities, whether it's fades in the end zone or some jump balls middle of the field, down the field. Just give him an opportunity to show that he can match some of the size and athletic traits to being able to help you in a game and maybe be viewed through a different light.
Michael Wiley, go ahead, dude. Get the ball. Tote that rock. I want to see, is he someone, I don't think this year, because you've got some more senior guys ahead of him, some guys with pelts on the wall and who are also still young enough to do some things, but is this a stash player that all of a sudden, one of those dudes that bursts on the scene, maybe the end of this season or next year?
The aforementioned Martavis Bryant, because I do think there's a roster spot there to be grabbed. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I just went with two guys that are 6'4", that are the only big receivers basically in the room.
I don't see any commonality there.
I really want some size on the back end of the roster. Even if it's for a couple of plays you draw up in the red zone, red area, goal line, whatever it is. Those two guys, Tremaine, who's young with some upside, Bryant, who is not and probably doesn't have a ton of it, but might be able to help you a little bit. Those are two guys that I'll definitely be tracking that I think in some ways are playing for a job. On defense, I've loved what I've seen from KJ Henry. I think it's not being talked about a lot, but he's been one of the better performers in the preseason.
Well.
And I really liked him in training camp when I was out there the few days that I got to see as well. He is on my roster. I think he is the fourth edge rusher. You've got Armstrong, Farrell, Fowler, and then Henry would be fourth. I think Javonte Jean-Baptiste has a good chance to make the roster as well, the seventh-round pick out of Notre Dame. But give me KJ Henry as a guy that I'm watching who's on the bubble.
Tyler Owens, I just want to see more. I just want to see him do stuff. I want to see him unfiltered. I want to see him running around making plays.
If you feel it, chase it.
Chase it.
If you feel it, chase it.
I was trying to get on board with you there.
That's a Glenn Powell Twister reference.
Gotcha.
The character's name in Twisters that Glenn Powell plays is like a YouTuber. He chases storms. Is Tyler Owens.
Is that right?
And his catchphrase is, if you feel it, chase it.
Is Jamin Davis going to play?
I would absolutely think so.
Then that's my answer.
How could he not?
Yeah, that's my answer then. Because you mentioned four defensive ends. Is Jamin Davis defensive end-ish, kind of? Or is he going to go back to linebacker sometimes in packages? Fascinated to see this development. Had a great play last week.
I like that one. I'll give you a DB. I'm going to say Noah Igbinoghene, who I think has shown pretty decently at the nickel. Seems like he's on the roster at corner. He could cement that with a good performance. I think he will be in for Washington. I like his game, and they know him from his time in Dallas. All right, Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag is next. You guys get to ask us questions, a little ask us anything. 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.